Let's learn on page Kuf Nun, Halacha Kuf Samach Beis. Okay, I have a little rough of the translation here. You'll help me along. Uleman is now going to say, watch out, what I'm about to tell you. Uleman lo yia libucha noikefes, in order that your heart should not bang, your heart rate should not go up. And kishatire, when you see, you should not pulsate, kishatire oita ayin basher nichtoiv lifone nuata. This is a warning. If you're on high blood pressure medication, maybe the next chapter is not for you. Okay, that's the warning sign. It's a warning label. If you're taking medication for high blood pressure, maybe this will not have a good interaction, what I'm about to say. What? Stay away from about to tell you, or just don't get too excited. Don't get too worked up, so that your heart will beat very quickly when you're about to read and see what I'm about to say. V'toymar, and you're going to say to me, Rabbi Yehuda Chas is saying that this sefer we're done with. We're closing and we're putting away. V'toymar, eini l'divrei chasidus, rak darkei hormoiri. I know what you're going to say now. I'm warning you. I know what they're going to say about me in the newspapers. They're going to say that my book, Sefer Chasidim, is not a Jewish book. It's superstition. It's a book of superstitions, a book of hocus pocus, a book of strange things, make-believe stuff. I know you're going to say that. And I know not only are you going to say, you're going to say it with passion, because your heart's going to be pounding away. Okay, you're going to be pulsating, you're going to be pounding away. Al yale alibcha v'al yashi ucha. Do not... Do not let your heart reach to such a conclusion. The al yashi ucho, do not be persuaded by machshavei secha, your thoughts, learn to say kain, say so. Ki sefer ze sefer hachasidim shemoi. The emes is, the name is a sefer for the pious. Ucho shemoi kain hu. And like its name, so it is. The aschil, the oibar, and I'm going to tell you that no is, trust me. He's basically saying, he's not really giving anything more than that, but to say is, trust me. Just trust me, this is not darkei hoemori, this is not superstition, like the emorim, they were superstitious, this is emes. And trust me, and let's see what I, first see what I have to say, the oimer, and here we go, the oimer, and I'm going to tell you what, the aschul v'oimer, let me begin and say the following words. Now it's very strange, because you think this is the hakdama. Okay, we're already on page 150 in the sefer, and it sounds like now he's giving us over here for the very first time the introduction to the sefer. So he says, no, I'm not sure how this thing was ordered, but nevertheless, ki beivarov shel adam, he says this first, yisoid, in the limbs of man, chakak HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol masei ha'adam u'mikrov. In the person's limbs are all his entire story, all his whole history. Everything that happened to you and will happen to you, you can read on your palm. You can read on your forehead. You can read on any part of the body. You just have to know how to read it. Okay, we've all heard of these stories. You go to palm readers, mikubalim, people, they look at your forehead, you read their palm, you look at your nails, they hold your hand. We've all heard about these things. So the Sefer Chasidim, now that we've heard about things by Goyim for sure, okay, it's a big industry. It must be a multi-million dollar industry to go to a palm reader, and they'll tell you, you go the crystal ball, Okay, we've all heard about these things, and unfortunately we've heard about these things by Jewish sources as well. By Mikubalim, that will read your palm, v'chulu, v'chulu. All I can tell you is that I've been taught, and when I grew up, is from these people you stay a million miles away. Okay, we've been taught in yeshiva, there may be something to it, there probably is something to it, but there's no one today, no one living today under any condition that is knowledgeable in these things. We have emuna that it's true. That in your palm and your forehead and your mezuzos, you look at your mezuzos, you can see everything that ever happened to you your whole life. But there's no one living today that is versed in these matters, that it's that it's kedai to go to, especially when they tell you, give me your money first. You have a story?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, what story?
My wife wanted to go to Macau.
Yeah.
And he said, not in the parshas, in the bat. He told me in the bat.
Yeah.
I brought my tefillin to Yaakov.
Okay.
And he said, yes, there's a problem in the bat. And
he's got a reward. He asked, you new batim? Or can we repair them?
He can repair them, but he says it's going to take some work.
Did he say the batim were possible?
No,
just?
He didn't say
the batim. They were not possible. They were kosher. They were kosher.
They were kosher when they were made. But the person who made them, he said, used kulos.
Okay.
At the time.
He used glue?
Yeah.
Okay, so I also have batim that have glue. Okay. I think probably everyone in this room has batim that have glue. I think everyone in this room is probably wearing batim with glue. Okay, yeah. It's a new thing, yeah.
Right.
All right. May I ask who this Mekabel is?
Some from Eretz Israel. I don't remember.
Okay, I'm not.
But someone reading my life. It was the weirdest thing I've ever experienced. It was like he was literally reading my life. And I've never met him before. I've never seen him before. He didn't know me from Adam or my wife. And he looked at the mezuzah. And the mezuzah.
Did he charge a fee for a service?
He did charge a fee for his service. I found out that all the money goes to Tzedakah.
Okay, listen. No comment. Hashem should give you gezunt. Everything should be good by you and your wife. Hashem should be gezunt. Let's go for it. Let's go for it. Over here it says, if you have a tradition to go, fine. All I could tell you is how I was brought up in the yeshiva world. We were taught over and over, stay right. So why did you go then?
This is my wife. She loves me.
Okay.
All right.
It takes grois plates for anyone alive today to tell a person why they have a health condition. It's mind-boggling how a person can, you never saw, never knew, can take the achrayas to say things like this. I hear what you're saying. It's very, very surprising. All right, I'm not. I don't know. Listen, what do I know? I live my little cleaner world over here. I'm not. Very, very interesting. It's. We have not seen this by the biggest Gedolei Yisrael that we grew up with, that they would tell people why things happen to them. We've never seen such things. All right. I don't know what to say. You should be gesund. The ikar is you should be healthy and successful and continue forward with siyata d'shmai in everything that you do.
Amen.
Let's go further. We are over here. The Sefer Chassidim tells us this, and we have a Messiah that this is emes. Okay, maybe we don't have people today that can do this. Look, we don't have people today that can teach us a daf tomorrow. So do we expect we're going to find people today that are going to be able to tell us the secrets of the world? Look, choisha mishpat. Do we have today any living dayanim today that can paskin a sha'ila in choisha mishpat? No. The Shulchan Aruch itself says no one today is qualified to paskin Shulchan Aruch. Choisha mishpat. You have a din taira. You owe me $1 million. You're a ganef. And the other one says back, I don't owe you. You're the ganef. And we go to a bezdin. The first thing in Choisha mishpat is that there's no one today alive that is knowledgeable in the depth of Choisha mishpat to paskin with absolute certainty any matter relating Choisha. There are certain obvious things that we're not going to go. And basically, you do the best you can. The Dayanim today is nothing more than dispute resolution. They study the sugya. The people have to be makabel from the beginning. Whatever the Dayanim say, I'm going to accept. The Dayanim have studied Choisha Mishpat for years, sometimes for decades. They have a grasp on what the issues are, but you can never be so certain. And therefore, it may have to be 90-10, 80-20, 60-40. You have to leave it to their discretion. Occasionally, they'll paskin 100%. Many situations where Dayanim paskin is a close, it's as clear as day in Shulchan Aruch. If we're making a mistake, too bad for you. You have to mekabel our psak. It says in Shulchan Aruch, what do you want from us? You're dead wrong, he's dead right. You lose. And if we're wrong, too bad. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. And they mekabel each one. Zeh, bar lo'yecha, zeh lo'yecha. So my take on this is, if no one today is alive, it says in Shulchan Aruch, that is knowledgeable in Shas, in the Talmud, we were able to understand, to paskin with ultimate clarity, a shayla of Choisha Mishpat, how then can there be people alive today that can tell us the greatest secrets of the world of why bad things happen to good people? And to charge money for that. It's a pellet to me. That it really is. It's a pellet to me. But nevertheless, it is what it is, and the ikar is you should be gesund and well. We have a emuna though, 100%, that there is such a thing. That's clear as day. There is a emuna pshuta that in looking at a person's palm, his forehead, his body, his tefillin, the mezuzos, a kvittel. What is a kvittel? A kvittel is when you go and you write down your name, you give it to the Rebbe with Ruach HaKodesh can see your whole life in just the way you sign your name. Just the way you sign your name. The way you sign your name today is not the way you sign your name tomorrow. The way you sign your name by Shachar is not the way you're going to sign your name by Mincha. And you give a kvittel to the Rebbe, he looks at the kvittel, he can see your entire life, you can see Ruach HaKodesh your entire life. We have emuna that it's true. We have emuna b'shuta, but are we confident that today we have people like this? Depends who you ask. It depends. But whatever it is. Let's go weiter. The Aschil. So therefore, everything about your life is written on the palm of your hand. The limbs of man, Chokak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Maaseh Adam, his entire existence. Umikrav, everything that ever happened to him in his life and will happen to him. Uvir Fafus Eivarav, when a person moves, when he loosens his limbs, Yagid Olav Yoitzroy Kol Hameutad Lavoy Olav Davar Yoim Biyoimo. His creator can reveal everything that is designated. Hameutad means like osid, that will happen to him throughout his entire life, every single day. Ulumoy Lukhami Davrachar Habe Dvarim. You can learn from one little thing many things. The Sivit says in the Pasuk called Sa'adai Yispar. When you walk, your stride is revealing a story. The way you take your steps, someone who's knowledgeable in the science can watch a person walk and can know everything there is to know about this person just by the way he walks. It says, "Os nidru yir Hashem ishal ve'eil v'yakshav v'yishama v'yikasev v'sefer zikar l'fonav liyir Hashem l'choshesh shmo." Two God-fearing Jews, they speak to each other. Hashem listens, he hearkens, and he listens, and he records everything they say. Mikan, so what does this mean over here? Shemoin kol p'siyos ha'adam v'nigzar l'adam kama p'siyos yesh l'leches. He says over here an incredible chiddush, that since these things, the person, when he walks, he is in essence speaking. He's saying incredibly novel interpretations of psukim. I don't think I've ever seen the mefarash that says such outrageous, but such incredible interpretations of psukim that we've never heard before. Look what he says over here. When you walk, you're speaking. You take a footstep, your gait, your stride, how high you hold your head up. Okay, body language. It's not just self-esteem. That's too simplistic. We know that already. We know there's a whole science. There's a whole science. The way you raise your hands. We know that. That's not such. You go and watch YouTube. Some YouTube videos can show you simple speaking. It's the way a person speaks. It reveals. They had on television a number of years ago. I saw one episode. I was blown away. It was an episode on regular television. I was online. Someone just pointed out to me, I have to watch this. So I watched, and they showed this guy, based on the way you respond to a question, reveals everything.
Body language.
No, there's a science. It's a whole science of how you ask a person a question. If he blinks, if he turns his head, there's a certain universal.
In poker, they call it tell.
This is universal body language, and people in the world of law enforcement and detectives, they are knowledgeable, they are trained in these matters, and it's not evidence, but it certainly opens up an investigation. Okay, based upon the way that you question a suspect and you bring in the top of the line professionals who know. Understand body language, and they observe you. They videotape you. They videotape your response, and then they take that video of the questioning. A person's a suspect in a crime, so we can then go make an investigation. Is it worthy to invest $1 million to investigate this fellow? Is he the culprit? So they study the interview, and based upon his body language, professionals can make a determination if there is. Raglayim ledavar, that this fellow is hiding information. And it's universal body language, which is very, very hard to disguise. You can try all you want, but you're going to slip. You ask the fellow enough questions, he's going to slip in his body language, no matter how trained you are, like people who lie detectors. There's a way. To fake out a lie detector, you have to be trained how to fake it out, how to breathe a certain way, v'chulu. But even the best training, the lie detector usually is pretty accurate, because he asked the guy enough questions, especially questions he never suspected would be asked. He's taken off guard, and it's human nature for your body. To react in a certain given way, which instruments can pick up. If an instrument can pick up, a person who's perceptive can also look at a person, can also pick up these things. So this is all true. But it's not even what the Sefer Chasidim is talking about. He's talking about things much, much deeper. Much deeper, which even the biggest experts don't know. Mekubalim, people that are knowledgeable in the secrets of the world, they know things that the forensic experts do not know. And we have Amuna. And when a person walks, his steps are speaking and telling you a story. And that story is being recorded by the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's recording that story. Vayikasev. So they hear when it says, Oz Nidberu Yirei Hashem. You know what it means, Nidberu? It means they're walking in the street. And they're not saying one word to each other. Just their walking in the street is a story, is an expression of language. And Hashem was observing. He's listening to the silent sounds that come out of their strides. He writes, records. Every step you take is recorded. It's counted. V'nigzar al ha'adam kama b'siyos yesh l'leches. Just like we have a tradition, the person has a limited number of words. You ever hear that as a child?
Yeah.
Hashem gave you a number of words, so don't waste your words. Don't waste your words. So too, since walking is called an expression, speech, you have a limited number of steps. Don't go hiking too much. Okay? The doctors tell you to go hiking. Who says it's so good? When you go hiking, you're giving up your steps. Skiing in a hike. What are you doing? You're just standing still when you ski. V'nigzar al adam kama b'siyos yesh aleches v'teilucha shekein hi sha'af al pi she'ein nichosh yesh simen. Even though there is she'ein nichosh, there's a simen. V'oslo l'achedim pen yachziku v'oslo loyma l'achedim pen yachziku b'nichushim. Don't go home and tell what you learned today to your wife, to anyone else, because they're not going to understand this. He says, even though she'ein nichush yesh, so he's something to differentiate. This is a very complicated sugi, which I don't think anyone really knows the difference. This is way too complicated for 99% of us. This Gemara Masecht Chulin, where the Gemara tries to differentiate between what's called nichush and a simon min hashamayim. You go to shul, and guess what? You didn't have to go through one red light. You go to Yeshir, not even one red light. What a miracle. How could a passer, the Hashkocha Pratis, you drive down this road every single day, you have to make a couple of stops, pass a couple of traffic lights, and you don't have, it must be a Simon Min HaShemayim. Who says the Simon HaShemayim? Maybe it was a coincidence, and maybe you have just violated an Isser De'oraisa of lois sedachashu. Don't go look at events that happen in this world as omens, or it's coming to reveal what's going to be in the future. So it's a major problem, because sometimes Chazal tell us there are simonim, and sometimes Chazal tell us that what you have just done is an isur d'oraisa. Where do you draw the line between a simon and nichosh? Go try to figure that one out. Okay? It's not at all...
Is that in the method?
No, there is no method to the madness. It's one of the most impossible questions to answer. It's not so simple at all. I don't know the answer. Maybe you know the answer. I've seen a lot of articles in Hebrew and English about this. And when it comes to these parashiyos and the sfarim that I use to prepare the shiur, there's always going to be a topic of lois nachashu. I'm trying to explain the difference between a simen and nichosh. And I've never been able to really get a grasp. I don't think the people who are writing these articles themselves have a grasp on what they're trying to say, to try to split hairs and differentiate between these two things. You know what else like that? There's a thing called groma and garmi. If you cause someone damage indirectly. So something called groma. Groma benizokin is potter. But a garmi in nizokin is chayef. What's the difference between a groma and a garmi? I don't know. And I don't think anyone really knows. I mean, people claim they know, and there are a lot of encyclopedias that try to tell you the difference. A groma basically is you have indirectly caused a person harm. A garmi is you have indirectly caused a person harm, but you're chayef. But a garmi, it's more direct. And a groma is less direct. So what does that mean? Is it direct or not direct? Are you pregnant or not? Only a little pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not. So is it direct or is it indirect? It's indirect. But if it's less indirect, then you're potter. If it's more indirect, you're chayef. Try to explain that to me. I'll give you 50 cases and try to define. I'll give you 50 cases and try to categorize 50 cases, which one is called the groma and which one is called a garmi. Okay. Uh, Okay, so therefore, Vizilva Yoshua Bikachaman was because of Yoshua. Okay,
why didn't the
Sefer Chassidim
put this as number one halacha?
Good question. A lot, everything in Sefer, that's one of the big challenges with Sefer Chassidim, is there's no order at all. No rhyme and no reason. The things that he says are, every halacha is like you're picking out of a hat. That's what I feel. Every time we learn halacha. We don't even know who wrote it.
But he didn't print it. They didn't print it.
Who printed it? We don't know who printed it. Exactly.
How many copies were there? 200.
It was basically a collection of ideas that he said. No, that's the Tzavo. Do not confuse the Tzavo with the Sefer Chassidim. The Tzavo was written, it's a whole Tzavo, it's one page. Whole Tzavo, you can fit the whole Tzavo on maybe four or five pages over here of the Sefer. This is the difference, the Tzavo of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid and Sefer Chassidim. Okay, Sefer, the two different worlds. And this was written as a Sefer. And as you see, each thing, each halacha has no relation to the previous halacha, the next halacha. It's not clear exactly even who wrote it, who even composed it. Was it him? Was it his father? Was it his child? Or what year? There are many, many girsois. There are many, many different versions of it. Somehow it's been trickled down to us, this as being the final version. And there, again, there are a lot of things that are not, the words are not always so clear what they mean. We had this many, many times. And the connection is not so clear. And let's go next paragraph. If a person's foot itches him, okay, you have an itch in your foot. The soul, it itches you. It's as if you have stepped upon a kina, a lice. A lice has bitten you, you've been bitten by a louse. V'hoya b'rotzoy mechachich, b'loy ma'aleh shechin. And it's your desire to scratch it. Beloy malish, and by scratching, you do not want it to cause a boil. The achar kach tanuach achituch, and afterwards the chituch, the scratch goes away. Now let's read further, and we'll come back to try to figure this out. Dalucha, you should know ki yesh lo leleches b'mokam she'eno yodea. That's a sign from above that you should use your feet to go to a place. She'enu yodea, that you do not know. Go to a new place you've never gone before. Star Trek. How did it start? This is where Star Trek started. V'hu adam she'enu rochol leleches, and you should be that person that never went, that's not used to going that place. So let's do one more time. Let me read this one more time. He's telling over here a simon. Like he says, he warned you. What I'm telling you now, it sounds like nichush. It sounds like Dar Gemar, but I'm telling you, it's not. This is the real deal. Now, Rabbi Yisai, for us, it's certainly not the real deal. Maybe for him, his time, people are much more sensitive, live much more a life of much more holiness. Maybe for them it was the real deal, but for us, we certainly were shy far away from this. But we'll look at least what he says. One more time. Im kaf ragloi shel adam achazohu hachichuch. It means that your foot is itching. The sole of your foot, you have an itch. Ki'il, what kind of itch? It's as if you've been bitten by a louse. Louse bite? I don't know. Ki'ilu ki'ro tsatu kino. Kratzadnu means you've been bitten, I think it means. Okay, you've been scratched. You've been scratched by a kino, a louse. V'hoya b'rotzoin. I don't really know what that means. It's a very intense type of scratch that you get to scratch it. I don't know what that means. Without boils coming. I don't know. It's a certain type of a sensation it appears. The achar kach. And guess what? The very next moment, it goes away. The achar kach tenuach hachichuch. You should realize you would just the recipient of a transmission from above. In Shemayim, they've just sent you a message. Your foot itched, and then the itch went away. They're telling you, move. You're in a dangerous place. Move. go somewhere that you're not familiar with. They're sending you on a mission. Even though you're a person that does not normally go there, go. Go to a new location. There's a shul around the corner you've never been in. Go check it out. They want you to go somewhere. Obviously, they have a mission. They have a mission for you. Hi. Okay, next. V'im, new exam. V'im oznov. V'im oznov. Yesh. Let's say you have an itch in your ears. My ears itch me. They're telling you it's time for a new shear. It's too long. You've been at the same shear for too long. You're all burnt out. Go somewhere different. Yesh loy l'shmaya dvar chidush. You should listen to something new. V'im oid sha'al ha'ayin. Let us say you have a twitch in your eye. Your eye is itching you. Yesh loy lirois oy likrois kisavim shel chidush. Go to the bookstore and buy a new book. It's time to be reading something new. Get a new newspaper. A new, they're not accustomed to. Masha eino yodea. V'im lishoiner. Let's say you have a twitch in your tongue. You have a twitch in your tongue. That means it's time for you to learn a new language. Okay? It's time for you. V'im l'shoinai yesh loy l'daber davar shel chidush. V'im givinei einav. Let's say you have on the givinei means on the eyelids. Okay, is it the eyelids or the eyebrow? I'm not sure what that means. Either the eyebrow, probably. The eyebrow. Yesh loy lirois anoshim oy noshim mashaloy ro'ol lefonim bizman merubeh. You should look at women. Wow! Talk about censorship. Okay? Talk about censorship. How could this, he says before the most extreme things about women, here he's telling you to go look at women? Okay, obviously it doesn't mean to look at them in a way that's not proper. It means that maybe it's time you should visit your aunt. When was the last time you went to visit people? What? Exactly. Maybe it's time for you to go visit people that you have not seen before. V'im bipadachas, bipadachas. Let's say on your forehead, yutzoyfim olav misavim liros boy. Now he's saying very strange. If you have this twitch in your forehead, it means they want to see you. Okay, it means that someone wants to see you very much. V'im bikapav, you have a twitch in your palm of your hand. Yavo lide kesef oizav chadash. It's time for a new job.
That's a wife's
thing. What?
It's like a wife's
thing.
They're what?
People say that.
What do they say?
It's scratching your
heels. Have a twitch in your arm? Yeah. And what do they say?
Money's coming. It's a wife's thing.
Okay, so where do they get it from?
Sefer
Chassidim. Now you know. V'im b'chatma, your nose twitches. Yichos. What does that mean? Get angry? I thought he would say you should watch Bewitched. Yichos, v'im tachas enav. If you have a twitch under your eye, the eitzel choytem, you're near your nose. Teidarna enav dima. You should cry. You should be sad. V'vechein al kol aver v'aver magid chachichuch chidush. A twitch, an itch is speaking to you. A nerve movement. There's nerve movement in your body and in an organ. This does not happen by itself. Then Hashemayim, it's been triggered to speak to you, to send you a message. This is scary stuff. This is not for us. Okay, everybody say, don't repeat this stuff. He even gave us a warning, a disclaimer. Who did all this? Who triggered all of these twitches? Ella HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Magid la'odam b'masa evodav kol masha yavro love. Hashem is telling you, speaking to you. The yeda ha'odam ki akol goyzer kadosh baruch hu kama b'siyus yeshal leches. How many steps you should take? The kama b'nei adam yireh. How many people you should see? The kama yirios yireh. V'chein lidi kama ma'isim yavro. What you should do? Ma yeshlo lastois. V'chein lape kama dram yidaber. How much you should speak? V'chein al kol ever ve'eva yishayigzer kadosh baruch hu tov le'mitzvah. V'loy la'aver ki akol lefi chalev. What you should do for a mitzvah, not for a aver, it all depends upon your inspiration. Sharei, im adam roitzel lo yistakel benoshim, ki nitan l'adam rishos. A person has the power not to look at women. Ulefi minhagoy goyzim loy, and according to his minhagoy, his custom, that's what they decree. I don't know what that means exactly here. V'akol koysim kama, v'akol koysim kama pulos yamol al kol ever v'ever shaloi. It's predetermined what every single one of your limbs are supposed to do. The alalev kame machashavois laonsoi. What in your heart? How many thoughts are going to overtake you? The kama dvadim liritzoinoit litoivois or liroishenemar ani Hashem choyker lev boichen kloyos. I am Hashem. I investigate your heart. I examine your kidneys. Kuf samach gimel im ni tzachta new unrelated halacha. Okay, so we're done with this halacha superstition. Okay, like I told you, who knows what this means? We got at least a little taste of something very unusual. Next very halacha, which has nothing to do with what we said before. Out of the hat. Close your eyes. Put your hand into a hat to take out a halacha. Im nitzachta es chavercha al tismach. If you prevail, if you have some disagreement with your friend, no matter what it is, whether it's in learning, whether it's in business, in politics, you name it, there's some type of disagreement, what we're going to have for lunch today, whatever it is, and you win, you prevail. Don't gloat over your success. Im nitzachta es chavercha al tismach. Don't be happy that you won. And he says something very surprising. The whole world doesn't appreciate this. Mutov shetiye minutzach mishetiye minatzeach. Better let someone else win. How do you like that? Better let someone else win the game. Shehaminatzeach al chaver b'olam hazeh moishim oisob biad minutzach. What in the world does that mean? The one who wins in this world is the loser in the next world. Why? Why is that so? I have no idea what this means. These are things which are not so self understood. I remember the setting. I went once to Los Angeles. It's a very interesting story. I was going to conclude with this, and this person he read. And I had a ticket. I got the cheapest possible ticket you can get. Scoured the internet to get a really, really cheap ticket. And okay, I was very happy with my ticket wherever it was. I have a friend who was also going to the wedding, and he works for a very, very big company. And he has American Express. He told me he has a billion points, like not real, and they're going to expire. And he says he would buy groceries if he could with those points. But in the meantime, he really wants to. I think he's going to expire. So he did me a very nice taiva without even telling me. Even I don't know how he was able to do it with my ticket. He had my ticket number because it was a group rate of people going together. He upgraded me from my seat in the back of the plane to not first class, but like to business. Not, it wasn't business. It was like economy plus towards the front of the plane. Okay, wow, very nice. So you get it's a little bit better. So I'm there. So I thought he did me a very big toiva. So, and I thought it was like a 6-hour flight. So the truth was, it was a toiva, of course, but who sits in the economy plus and first business class seats on these flights? Very wealthy people. Very wealthy people. Who sits in the back? People like me. When you sit up in the very wealthy people, they like to talk. They like to. It's a different type of person. I end up sitting next to a person, a couple, who after 5 minutes talking to them, I realized these people are so phenomenally wealthy it's just not to be believed. The only thing I don't understand is why they're either not flung on a private jet. The only question I have when the day was over is, why is this guy not on a private jet and sitting over here in economy plus and not at least in business class? Okay? Maybe you know, that's, I think that's the answer. You know, you hit the nail on the head, and this guy is so wealthy, and he looks at me, Shira Bacher, okay, he looks at me, and obviously, in hindsight, he just felt very guilty, because after the whole story is said and done, his grandparents were Shomer Shabbos. And he gave it all up. Everything. I'm not even sure his wife was Jewish. And he looks at me, and he starts watching me, and obviously, and he's not a young person, and obviously this guilt comes out, and he has a need to talk to me the whole flight. And he takes out his iPhone, the latest fancy schmancy, and he shows me that he's a collector of antique cars. Now, you know how much a car like this costs?
Yeah.
And where do you even store these cars? Well, he has a home in Wisconsin, and a home in Florida, and a home in California, and he shows me all of his cars, all of these antique cars all over the country, all in the garages. I mean, this guy has money to burn. Okay, money to burn. And then he tells me, I was thinking about Chabad. I wasn't thinking about the morning call. I was thinking about Chabad.
Chabad. You didn't get the message.
I'm not going to go.
Sending you,
I was thinking about Chabad. I should have been a Chabad shliach. Then they would have chapped this guy. They probably don't worry. They know about him. Don't worry. I'm sure they know about him. And so then what he started telling me, that he goes to competitions. It's really impressive. Competitions are driving the antique car competitions. And he said he already won so many trophies. He said, this guy has nothing to do with himself. He just runs around his whole life vacationing with his wife, jumping out of airplanes, he shows me, like these crazy things. And he said to me, when I go to these competitions, I get very close to winning, and I deliberately lose. Go out of my way to lose. So I don't need this anymore. I want to give the other person the pleasure of winning. And the way he said it, it made such an impression on me, it was worth it. The whole thing, the way he said it, like, I have it all already. I have all the money, all the covet. I need another trophy. When I go into these competitions where we drive these fancy cars, I don't even know, I couldn't understand that. And he shows me the trophy, he shows me the pictures, he's just showing the whole of these pictures, shows me his wife jumping out of the airplane. You know, they go, these crazy, these skydiving things. I don't tell them this. I get close, but I lose. Give someone else in this world pleasure. Let them win the trophy. It's amazing. That's mamish. He is a chosid. He is a chosid of the Sefer Hasidim. Better be the menutzach than be the menatzeach. I guess you have to say that. I guess you have to understand that the Sefer is not discussing things that are important in life. Things that are important in life, you don't let someone else win. But things that are not so important in life, Mistama, this fellow was giving a perish on Sefer Hasidim. There are things in life that are not so important. When not so important, let someone else win. Give him the hana. A person always has to have it his way. It's my way or the highway over Narishkeit. In the next world, those people are not in a mila. It depends. It depends. If being right makes you happy, you gotta be right. Okay.
I don't need more money. I can give other people money and make them happy.
Right. I mean, yeah. It's a general principle. Yes and no. It depends. It depends on the story. Okay. We'll take a short break. Very short break. I have something very interesting to talk about. How you feeling? Tight. What? Brit. Where? Who's Brit? Oh, Yosha, very nice.